Blog Talk Radio.
Hello from the other side.
Now presenting. Channeling Eric's Hour of Enlightenment.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the show. Every Thursday night, we get together with Eric and Kim and have all sorts of fun. And as probably most of you guys know, Eric is my son who passed away a few years ago, and he is now a spirit guide. So hopefully he can give you guys some wisdom and some humor, as he always does in this show and shows of the future. Tonight, Eric will discuss how we can cope in our life in a way that helps us transform in the way we wish. That's really important. And after he talks about that for about 20 minutes, Eric will then take questions from callers. But I would like to introduce again my friend and Eric's voice, Kim Babcock. Kim, take it away. Tell us about yourself.
Thank you. Well, if you guys are just joining the show.
What exciting stuff is going on in your world?
Oh, my goodness, a lot. If you guys are just joining us, and maybe you're new to Channeling Eric, I've actually met some of you this week, which is super cool. That's like, I just found the blog, and it's so cool to hear those words. I found the Channeling Eric blog a couple years ago, and as a medium, began working with Eric and Elisa to, I feel so connected to the messages that Eric has to share with you guys, and that's why I love being his voice. He has taught me so much, and without him, I wouldn't be where I am. I wouldn't know what I know from his side, from his perspective, and all the things that he shared. It's been a wild ride. So, in a lot of that, Eric has connected me to you guys, and you guys inspired me in such a way that, as some of you guys might know, I decided to write a book. I fought the title of an author for the longest time. I thought, oh my goodness, my vocabulary is tiny. How am I ever gonna write a book? You know, but I thought, oh, well, there's people that can help you with that, I suppose. So through all of my experiences with you guys, that's what inspired this book. So that'll be coming out. It's called Inside Out. That'll hopefully be launching by June, fingers crossed, June 1st. That's what we're going to shoot for.
How exciting!
And I'll keep you guys, it is exciting. It's surreal. It's a lot of fun. And I'll keep you guys posted the more I know. There's no date set yet, but that's the target. So with that
awesome.
Being said, I'm also going to continue putting out new videos and podcasts for you guys, because you guys have... The questions continue to flood in, and I want to provide as much guidance as I can. And I'm kind of moving away from the private sessions for a while so that I can do these podcasts and these videos for you guys and basically just get as much information out there as I can. So thank you for joining us tonight. We have an awesome show, and I hope you guys have your ears on, because Eric has been fired up about this all week, and he's been very passionate about it. So I'm glad that it's finally Thursday night, and here we are.
So he can stop pestering you about it. He can stop pestering you finally. Hi, Eric. I love you, sweetie.
That's right. He has been pestering me. And one way or another, he has worked that message into almost every session this week. apparently it's...
So it's an important one to him.
Yeah. He says, what's up, Mom? He's blowing kisses. He says, I love you.
I love you. So what do you got? What do you have to say on the topic of coping, et cetera?
He wants you guys to look at the difference, the different way you live when you're coping versus transforming or adapting and transforming.
What's the difference?
A huge difference, he says.
Yeah, tell us.
He says, well, he wants to look at coping. It's not necessarily a negative thing, because it's a step in the right direction. When you cope, you're at least empowered. If you're not coping at all, you feel helpless and powerless. And sometimes that's when people introvert, he says. And
they become victims.
Like, right. And they also become like the victims of their own behavior, like self-destructive behavior. When they don't have coping mechanisms that they feel, or coping strategies that they feel connected to and productive with. So coping is a way through, but he doesn't want, here's the thing, he says, I don't want you guys to get so fixated on your coping strategies, because then it's like an addiction. However you cope, it winds up turning into an addiction, whether it's, for example, like someone who can't stand to be around a lot of people, of course their coping mechanism is to either exit the room quickly or stay away from those kind of situations. So they keep themselves hostage in that sense with their coping strategy. Let's say someone else's coping strategy is, if they're stressed or if they're pissed off, he says, maybe they have a couple glasses of wine. And, well, maybe they had a terrible day, and they come home and there's no wine, and then they kind of freak out, like, oh, crap, I don't have any wine. Now what am I going to do?
So that sounds like me. Oh, my God. Go ahead.
It kind of festers. It kind of spirals from one thing to the next to the next. When you're not really transforming, you're just coping. You're just dealing. And this is when the victim mentality sets in, he says. And when the victim mentality sets in, he kind of like throws his hands forward, and he's like, of course, now we got even more work to do. So he wants you to see coping is not a bad thing, but don't become so attached to and addicted to your coping strategies that you don't move beyond them. You have to allow yourself to transform, he says, in order to move through whatever it is that has a hold on you that causes you to have to cope. So,
how do we do that?
For example, like that's what he's talking about someone with mental illness. In specific, like anxiety with paranoia. He's like, let's talk about that pair for a minute. Someone that's dealing with anxiety and paranoia. They're always anxious, they're always cautious and manic, or is that the right word? Impulsive. He doesn't like the word manic. He likes the word impulsive in their behavior and their actions and their decisions. And they're paranoid. And maybe their coping mechanism is, let's just say, alcohol, for an example. Before you cope with alcohol, look at be willing to stop and be present with what you're trying to cope through, like, or what you're trying to run from, basically, he says. Because as soon as you employ the coping strategy, you do begin to run, and it becomes like a perpetuating cycle. Like, he's showing a dog chasing his tail. Like, you just get stuck in that cycle. Oh, here we go again. I'm gonna drink. Or here we go again. I'm gonna take off. So, if you're not willing to think differently, to break those patterns, to allow yourself to transform, you're never going to change the situation. So you have to be present with it first. So let's say, for example, it is paranoia. Maybe it's anxiety disorder. Be willing to be present with it enough in a way where you self-reflect. If you're the one that has those issues that you're dealing with, he says, be willing to self-reflect enough to be self-driven in new ways to change and transform. So if, for example, you become really claustrophobic, well, instead of coping by just fleeing, what's a new way that you can allow yourself to transform? Because he says, I promise you, you can, if you embrace something, anything, you can change it. You can transmute it, transmute it. And I want you to do that. He says, I want you to know you have the power to do that. So let's say, again, if you're suffering from, he keeps using this example of, like, claustrophobia, and you can't stand being in small places with a bunch of people. Well, you know, whatever your fear is doesn't even matter at this point. Now it's a matter of, okay, how can you, but you have to be the one, too, to come up with the ways to transform. If someone else just is always shelling out things to you, like, here you go, try this, here you go, try that, then it's not going to mean as much to you as if you're the one that declares the next action. So here's the difference, Mom. He says, coping is you use the same thing over and over. Therefore, you never really change. Nothing ever really changes or transforms. When you allow yourself to do something new and different, that's when you change. So let's say, for example, the person who's claustrophobic begins to allow themselves, well, okay, I can handle being in a room with 10 to 15 people, and putting themselves in that situation more frequently, and then disarming their fear or their paranoia by themselves, like in that situation. When he says by themselves, he means being like self-directed in it, not like alone. So,
right.
Like you making the choice to do that.
So you're self-empowered. You're self-empowered,
right,
when you create these kind of plans. Like, okay, I'll start out with being around five people, and then maybe in a few weeks I'll start experimenting with being around 10 people. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. Like slowly integrate, because, but you have to be willing. He says if you're not even willing to do that, you're not ready to change. Some people, and he says, Mom, this message is for only those that want change, because there are people that are well aware of their coping strategies and they don't want change. They don't want anything different. But he says, to truly evolve, you have to allow yourself to transform through situations. Even if it's the worst situation possible, if you can look within yourself and use that self-empowerment, like you said, to come up with new ways to move through it, basically transform yourself, then you release its grip on you, you see?
Mm.
But if you continue to employ the same coping strategies over and over, he says, you basically give it a tighter grip on you. So, and then he's kind of rambling. He's like, and then it's crazy to watch people run around like mindless zombies, because then they freak out when their coping strategies fall through, and then they don't know what to do if they don't have that.
They run out of wine. There we go.
Yeah, if they don't have that thing in place that they're so used to, then they don't know what to do, because they've given that thing, that coping strategy, more power than themselves. And then if it's not there, then they render themselves powerless, and they freak. Then they freak the fuck out. So, sorry for the language, but that's Eric.
So you don't need a crutch. What you need is self-empowerment, and you need to have a plan.
Exactly. You have to declare your power over something. He says, because if you're always in a state of just he just showed an image of himself, like, excessively overweight, and his shirt's too small, and he's like, he's sitting on the couch like, oh, life just happens to me. You know, like in that state of just, I'm just always reacting instead of creating. If you're always just reacting and you're that person that's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this happened, and then this on top of that, you know, this happened. You have to be willing to step up to the plate and create your life and make your life happen for you instead of letting it happen to you.
Mm.
He like stepped back, he put his arms up in the air, he goes, that's it. That's what I'm telling you guys. You have to make life happen. You have to take your power back and forget about the crutch. Forget about things having power to do this or that over you. Nothing has more power
over
you.
Or other people. Yeah, or other people. No, life cannot happen to you. People can't happen to you. You have to happen to life. You have to make it happen. I like that, Eric. Well done.
He goes, what does she need me for? He said, well said, Mom. What does she need me for?
Aw. All right, so I want to remind everybody that by the grace of LiveParanormal.com, we are here. So a big shout-out to LiveParanormal.com. You guys check out their site, LiveParanormal.com. It's really awesome. And I'm not just saying that because it might tell me to, which they don't. But anyway, anything else before we take callers?
He just says, this is what he says. He says, no, Mom, I just wish people would realize how powerful they are And I wish they would also realize how much they give that power away. And that's when
people
start running around like zombies, like, how do I cope? What do I do? So
we are amazingly powerful. It's a shame that sometimes we don't realize that. And you're right, we give our power away. Well said, Eric.
So true. He says, let's do it, Mom. I'm ready.
Okay. Let's take one from the 813 area code. Click on it again here because it's not cooperating. Hi there. How are you doing?
Am I on?
Are you there? Yep. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. What you got for our boy?
Well, first
what's your first name? What's your first name?
Can I use my first initial?
Sure.
Oh, of course you can. You can stay anonymous. We don't care.
I'll just K.
Okay.
I love the topic, but I also have been wanting to call in and just get the best advice Eric would give me for my stage of life. Even though I feel like a happy person, I would love to hear his best advice for me at this stage of life.
I like it. Take it away, Eric.
I do too. He's like dancing and wiggling his hips, and he looks at you, and he's like, ooh, you mean I have an open playing field? I have an open floor, an open dance floor? So, okay, there's a couple things that he wants you to... Basically, when people leave it open-ended like this, I just look at him, and I'm like, okay, what would you suggest for her to focus on? Kind of in accordance to what you said, like in this stage of your life. It's kind of the feeling of, no, it is the feeling, not kind of. I use the words kind of and almost, and he gets so annoyed with that. Because he wants to encourage you to practice letting go, and that is so broad, so cliche, but let's bring it down a little bit. Let's pinpoint what he's talking about. What he's talking about is, I think there's going to be a lot of scenarios in your life in relationships, like with close friends and family around you, where it's like you're spread too thin, or you're asked to do a lot, or it's like being able to let go of feeling obligated, like to say yes to people or to make things happen for people. Because I think that you can, and you can do that with ease, like helping people if it's like running kids here and there, or I don't know, whatever it might be, you're very good at accommodating people. But he says you need to let go of feeling obligated to do that, because he looks at you, he goes, this is the tone of voice he uses, he goes, trust me, you're not obligated. He says, you're not obligated to do anything. He says, so I want you to practice letting go of that and allow yourself, he kind of shows this image of you. He goes, see, there you go again. I just said kind of again. But he is showing an image of you sort of, as you let go of that feeling of obligation, you naturally fall into a place of peace. That's what he wants for you. That's why he would encourage you to focus on that right now. But otherwise, I think he's kind of laughing because he calls you lackadaisical. Like, I don't think you get wound up about anything. I don't think you get all worked up and upset over anything. So you're very easy-peasy, he says. So now it's just a matter of letting go of that feeling of being obligated to do things for other people when it might be spreading you too thin.
Wow, that makes sense, being a caregiver.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's
wow.
A lot of people in that field, you know, I'm sure you've heard the term caregiver burnout. So if you're feeling where you're just kind of spread too thin and you feel obligated to, like, make ends meet for people or you're kind of like you bridge the gap for a lot of people in a lot of situations. So stop feeling obligated, he says.
Yeah, you don't want to give too much of yourself away.
Yeah, oh, my gosh, yeah. And I think I tell myself that, gosh, this is why my job is rewarding. For some reason, I tell myself that, so he is making perfect sense, but that's my that's my stumbling block when people say, oh, what do you do for fun? Then I can't explain it, and then I have to say, oh, gosh, but this is so caregiving is so rewarding, and I think I'm, like, talking myself into that. I don't know.
Interesting. Yeah, be mindful in that process, you know, and be mindful of your response and your emotional state of mind. In your
yeah, it's okay to really like it. You know, it's okay to really love that and feel like it's a form of play and joy. I mean, don't let anybody talk you out of that.
Right.
Yeah. Awesome. Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much.
You bet.
Oh,
thank you
welcome.
For calling.
Take care.
Thank
bye-bye.
You for having me. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's great. I got a good vibe from her. She sounded sweet.
Yeah.
All right, we're
going to
take one from the 678 area code. Hi there. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm good.
Good.
Hi there.
What's your first name?
Welcome. Well, I'm gonna go with an initial as well. It's K.
That's fine.
Okay.
So I have a question about one of my girls, one of my daughters. She's in college. She has been involved in an activity basically since as long as she can remember. She's very dedicated. It's a sport. She's very dedicated to it and always has been. And recently, just within the last couple of weeks, this activity, the sport, basically has defined her. It was like her identity for her life, from what she remembers. And the activity, the sport has been taken away from her in her current environment, and she is in a place where she's needing to decide, should she stop it? Should she stop playing at the level she's playing at and move on, like, with the rest of her life and maybe just play for fun? Or should she fight to continue doing what she loves and find another arena to do it in? It's a time-sensitive issue, and right now, I'm nervous for her. I'm concerned for her because what happened a couple of weeks ago is kind of paralyzing her. And I let it go and just talked with her for the last couple of weeks. Last night, we ended up having a discussion with her about because of the time sensitivity. I said, okay, you know, it's been a couple of weeks now. You know, you're kind of moping and you're sad and whatever, I said, but it's time, you know, you're going to have to make a decision. And it's, you know, it's time for you to take your life back, whether it be decide to not play anymore at this level or to, you know, to give it a fight to try to play elsewhere. So I guess my question for Eric, and I was talking to him before the show started, I talk to him, I don't hear him back, just so you know. But my question for him is she at a place in her life where she would be okay if she quit doing her thing? You know, my concern is in 5 or 10 years, I would hate for her to look back on this and be like, I shouldn't have quit. You know, and so I'm just trying to guide her in a way where she makes this decision consciously versus letting it happen to her.
Yeah.
Kind of like what y'all were just talking about.
Yeah. You know, this is what Erica's showing with, like, the whole time you're talking with 100% assurance. He keeps showing her continuing, or it's the feeling. See, I caught myself. I almost said almost, and he was like, don't you say it. It is the feeling of like taking something to the next level or taking it to the professional level. I don't know what that means to you, but it's, this is also what I feel. He keeps talking about this situation like let's just say, for example, she grew up playing softball. And she's like the superstar in her town and everybody knows who she is, you know. And she has such a love for the sport and she's incredibly amazing at it. And then she goes away and plays it somewhere else. It's the feeling of like wherever she is with it, like that place either doesn't have the greatest program or they're not keeping a level of authenticity to it or something. But I think for her, like wherever she is, I think this is what I feel. I feel her like leaving where she is to pursue it going to the next level, to pursue continuing. She's not going to quit because I think if she even entertains that thought, I think she like drops down like five levels. I don't even know what that means, but Eric's talking about energetically like depressed. I think even entertains the thought of quitting, she feels like she loses herself in that thought. And I feel like deep down, she has this big dream, this big goal. And Eric says, it is now or never. But it's not the latter of the two. It's now. So
it's now.
I think for her, she's going to, you know what I think? Eric says, I feel like she is hesitant. I can relate to this, it's kind of crazy. Here's an example. For me, years and years ago, I had this big dream that I was going to be a model, right? Whatever. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to voice it, though, because I felt like I needed someone else to justify that for me, and that someone else was always my mom. So if she supported me, then I was like, oh, I'm unstoppable, you know? So I needed, someone else to validate what I knew I was feeling inside, but not because I didn't know what I was feeling, but because I needed to know I had support. And I think that's where she is. I think she has that feeling inside, and I think she's a little hesitant to share how she truly feels. But I think she needs to hear that support, and then I think that's going to give her, just the oomph to make that decision. Because if she doesn't, I feel like if she quits, Eric shows her doubting and second-guessing her decision constantly.
But the only thing I worry about is if she has defined herself by this particular activity, that's worrisome because she's so much more and so much bigger than any activity. And to label yourself as a person that performs in this activity, restricts you so much. So what can you say to that, Eric?
That's true.
Well, but before he says anything, Elisa, I will say the way you described it is probably a little bit more extreme than it really is. I mean, I use that description that it defines her because that's like what she's done for so long. It's her passion.
Yeah.
She loves doing it. But I also can say before she had to, you know, kids these days, they're forced to specialize by the time they're in middle school because of how crazy competitive the sports are. I mean, she loved other sports as well, and she liked to dance. So, but then she had to pick, and this sport that she picked, you know, when I say it defines her, she just put a ton of her life and energy into it.
Yeah, a lot
and
of effort.
I think she'll
a lot
be
of a,
fine.
Yeah,
I think she'll be fine letting it go at some point in her life. The concern is she going to regret in 5 years letting it go? And if she does so now, is she going to regret letting it go in this manner where it's kind of being taken away from her versus it being on her terms, leaving it on her terms?
Right. I think for her, I think it's definitely a passion. It is a strong passion of hers. So I don't feel like it's like she doesn't know herself outside of it. This is a passion of hers, and to let that passion go either way is like a part of you dying. Because when
okay.
when you're passionate about something, I mean, it is something that gives you life that you can, you know, evolve through and with. And I think for her, either way, if it were taken from her or if she walked away from it, I think she would wind up feeling regretful or second-guessing her decision.
Okay. The only other thing then, this is hugely helpful, by the way, the only other thing would be, can Erica give me a sense of where, like an area, a state, and you know, a state or a couple states where she should look? Does he see her landing? Like, where's the best place for her to continue this? Do you feel anything coming from him in that regard? Like any guidance there?
No, he doesn't say anything. He's just tapping on the heart. So he's telling her to listen to her heart. So
follow her heart.
She must already have an interest for him. Most of the time he'll say, like he'll give a region or an area and he'll answer the question. But she must already know because he's telling her she already knows in her heart, or he's telling you she already knows in her heart. So tell her to follow what's in her heart. So she must have an area of interest already.
Okay.
That sounds great.
She does.
Well, I hope that helped you and your daughter.
Yes, tremendously. Just a follow-up there. She does have a place in her heart, but it doesn't look like it's, well, at least in the initial stages of inquiring, it doesn't look like it's panning out. It's going to pan out. Does Eric say continue to fight for that one thing, that like that place, and that it's, will pan out in the long run?
His response is, she will. That's all he says, she will.
Okay, perfect.
So.
Okay, well, we better get to other callers. Thank you so much, and I hope that really helped you a lot.
Thanks, guys. That helps a ton. Take
good
care.
Luck to both of you
good
guys.
Good luck. Good luck.
Thank
Bye.
You. Bye.
Okay, we have one from the... 323 area code. Hi there, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you guys?
Fine.
Hi, doing good.
Who are we speaking with?
Hi, my name is Alan. I'm from California.
Hey, Alan. What you got for Eric?
Hi, Eric. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you guys for doing Channeling Eric. My question is, what is some advice you can give me for my current life situation?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. A couple things. The first thing he says is, and don't take offense to this, don't take it the wrong way, but he says, he says, he's like using a strong voice too, a strong tone. He says, stop the need to please, and he's talking about like pleasing other people. So we'll get to that. We'll break that down in a moment. So he says, stop the need to please, but alongside that, he says that you're in a phase, you're in a place where, emotionally, energetically speaking, where he's encouraging you to. Let your walls down and let yourself be guided, whether that's advice from people around you or, he goes, from cool cats like me. So either way, he's encouraging you to, sometimes we get bogged down with our own thoughts and our own ideas and even attached to them. So he's encouraging you to hush that process for a while, the thought process. Hush that for a while. Move into the heart and allow yourself to be guided by other people. Allow other people to give you guidance and advice because I think they're there, they're going to, or they're trying to. But don't take it the wrong way, he says. When people are trying to give you advice, it's not because they want to change you. It's because they're trying to help you or at least give a new perspective or make you think in a different way.
Are we talking about friends or coworkers or family? Any idea?
I think it's all of the above because he's showing like there's going to be people coming in from like all corners of your life, all areas where, but it, it's not like an attack or anything. It's just like, you know, be mindful when someone has a suggestion, because I think it's going to take you further than what you might give it credit for. And then the first part of what he was saying, like, stop the need to please. Like, remember, what he means by this is remember to uphold your self-worth, and don't forfeit that, like, because it's kind of the feeling of, like, don't let people walk all over you. Like, you know how sometimes, mm-hmm. I guess, here's an example, like, in middle school, like, we would let people treat us like crap just to fit into their little clique or their little club or whatever. We would render ourselves powerless just to fit in. So I'm not sure how this is playing out in your life now, but he says, do you have the disease to please? Meaning, do you do harm to yourself in some way to please other people, like emotionally, mentally, energetically? So just be mindful of that, too, because we've all done it. We all have the tendency to do it.
Oh, yeah.
But he's encouraging you to, it's time to, like, take your power back, and it's time to, like, step forward with that, because I feel like you have a lot of potential to just, when I say potential, I'm talking about just achieving what you want to for yourself. But now it's time for you to cultivate your personal power back. You must be sort of piecing it out everywhere and, like, letting other people, I hate to say it, but, like, walk all over you, or it's kind of that feeling where, like, other people's words or influences are more important than your own. So it's interesting.
No, Alan, you deserve better. Alan, you're the man.
Yeah. Alan, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry.
Okay, that must have just been on my line. There was some feedback. But it's interesting because he's telling you to allow yourself to be guided, and kind of like let those walls down, but on the same hand to take your power back and step forward and not let people walk over you. So I guess that could be a fine line. I'm not sure. But it seems like you're coming into a time of, like, realizing your personal power. Because Eric keeps tapping on the temple, so that's my symbol for, like, you're waking up to your true self, your truth and who you are. So be very
awesome.
Mindful of how people are going to take advantage of that, he says.
Okay, Alan,
okay.
I hope that
okay.
helps you, babe.
Thank you guys so much. Really, really, really appreciate it. Thank you. Bye.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Alan, for calling in.
Bye.
I think a lot of us are in that situation that Alan's in, you know?
Yeah, definitely. It's to feel accepted, you know, we put ourselves through some crazy things.
Yeah, we've all been there, too. All of us.
Absolutely.
All right,
because
it's a human thing.
Yep.
All right, I want to shout out again to liveparanormal.com. If you guys are just joining us, know that liveparanormal.com makes it all happen here, and we're really appreciative of them. We couldn't have the Hour of Enlightenment without them. So let me take somebody from the 315 area code. 315 area code. Hi there. How you doing?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Who are we speaking with?
How are you?
Hi.
I'm going to give you my middle name.
Okay.
Okay.
It's Marie.
Oh, cool.
Okay. Hi, Marie.
Hi. Hi, Eric.
Welcome. He's like, welcome, lady.
It's funny. I just want to tell you a couple of quick funny stories. So even though I'm a lot older than Eric, I have such a crush on him.
Oh, he probably has a crush on you, too.
And I think he flirts with me every once in a while. And I've gotten to a point in my life where I've been able to find answers to a lot of my questions, thanks to Eric's guidance.
Mm.
The last one was, if I got through, I wanted to ask him. I'm not asking him this right now, but I wanted to ask him how to stop giving the universe mixed messages, because I felt like I was manifesting what I didn't want to. And then I ran into Kim's video about unifying your thoughts. and it answered my question. So thank you very much. Yeah.
See, not my in that direction, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. He says to tell you, too, when you said, like, I know I'm a lot older than him, he looks at you and he's like, you know time isn't real, right?
So, there we go. All bets are off.
I guess. Like, joking.
Yeah. No, I know that.
Eric, do you have a crush on middle name Marie?
Marie.
He's just
middle name
giggling.
Marie. Do you have a crush on her?
He's giggling, and he said, she's so sweet. He said, she's a sweetheart. So he adores you. That's what he says. It's like a feeling of adoration.
Do you have a question for him?
Yes, I do. And I don't know the right way to ask this question, but I was wondering if he had any advice of what I can do to save myself from losing my home.
That's pretty important.
You said save yourself from within your home?
No, from losing her home.
Oh, okay. I was distracted because Eric's talking to you when you said that you have a question for him. He said, he said it like in a Boston accent. He said, I got an answer, sweetheart. And he's like, I'm like, what? Where'd that accent come from? He's just flirting, I guess. I don't know. But, okay, so your question is, you want to, like, save from losing your home?
Yes, exactly. Like,
okay.
What can I do to?
There's two things he wants you to look at. Two very important things, he says. He says, you need to look at, and he'll break it down a little bit, time management versus, like, money management. He's actually saying, like, one feeds the other, but in the sense of lack. He said, I'm talking from a perspective of, like, lacking. If you always feel like you're up against the clock, you don't manage time very well, and that's chaotic. He says, he's comparing. Okay, he wants to compare, too, because he says, when you feel like you're always, like, running out of time or you're always, like, stressing over time, think about the energy exchange that's happening in accordance with time. So the same thing, it's the same way with money, he says. He wants you to, it's just as easy because, he says that's why he's making the comparison between time management and money management because people think money management is harder or time management is easier. Like, I'll just leave earlier or I can make a list. He's like, Mom will like that. That suggestion.
I love it. Yep.
He says, I'll make a list, and then if I adhere to my list, then I'm more productive. Therefore, I have more time on my hands. So the same goes with, like, do the same thing energetically with money. So he wants you to look at areas of your life where you can clean up, those are his words, where you can clean up your time management because that's going to feed into money management. Because
what, can you give us some specifics?
Well, he says it's not even a matter of, like, not having money or losing money. Is there something going on in your location, though, as to why you would be losing the home? It's almost a feeling of, like, there's something changing in your community or in the location. There's something changing there, too. Maybe he's just referring to,
maybe the price
of the
homes are going down or...
Yeah, like something like construction with the land or just a change in the collective consciousness. I'm not sure, but he's saying it's not just you and your situation. It's that area, too, like that community. And he's giving me my symbol for change. So there's more changes than just you personally and what you're experiencing. But anyway, so with suggestions, he says to tell you, like, I don't know if you feel like it's a money issue, but it's not. He says I feel like, this is interesting, it feels like there's just a lot of chaos, and I this is an example, but it may be a literal interpretation, like, I get my bills paid and I make ends meet, but it's the feeling of, like, God, I can relate, it's so scary, because I'm like, are you talking to me, Eric, because this is my life, just adapting to a newly deployed husband is crazy. But so it's the feeling of like, okay, gosh, I got to make time to do the bills, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
this is just an example. And then you're kind of like thinking in your head like, okay, I got this much money set aside for these bills. And you know it in your head, but you don't write it down. But you get your bills paid and you know you're at least getting by, he says.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know this one's due. Okay, I'll sit down and I'll shell that one out when it's due. So it's not using time effectively, and how that, because it's an energy transfer again, how that affects the money situation in your life. Because I feel like when one's chaotic, so is the other. And he says, if you can, he says, do this for me. If you can really sharpen up and clean up time management, that
okay.
will feed into like money management, but also like just situations in your life, like just getting things done and feeling productive and staying ahead of the game instead of like you're just trying to tread water, keep your head above water.
Well, can you be more specific, Eric? How can being better with time management help her save her home? Just get down to the nitty-gritty.
He says she's going to make more time, or not necessarily make more time, but she's going to be more productive with her time to sit down and analyze her financial situation and take action where she needs to. And this is kind of where he's talking about, like, unifying your thoughts with your actions so you can manifest what you want. So in order to do that, it's, you know, you have to be productive with your time. See time as a tool, although we know it's not really real. See it as a tool for you to use to sit down and unify your thoughts and your actions, meaning like, okay, I'm going to analyze my financial situation. I'm going to send out these bills. Okay, I've got to take care of this. In order, like, this is, it's just like, it's taking action. That's what you need to do. So I don't know if there's been some things that have just been overlooked, or you haven't had time to get to them or through them, or research a little bit further, like what your rights are. But he's showing, like, you need to take action, but you also need to use time productively to know what action to take. Do you see what I mean? So
Yes, because a lot of what I've been doing is, so I'm working, and I feel like, well, I have to go to work, so I don't have time to, like, really sit down, and I'm also a single mom, so I don't have time to sit down and
make
just
tough,
go through
yeah.
it. Yeah, mm-hmm. So I think I understand what he means, and it's maybe just prioritizing time.
Right. Right, exactly. Right. Prioritizing what, and you have to stick to it. That's why my mom makes lists, he says, to make sure
yeah.
she's done.
Yeah.
So he says if you need to, he's like, start making lists and hold yourself.
I'll teach you how to do that, and I'm a pro.
Hold yourself accountable. You have to hold yourself accountable to be able to check off what's on that list and move to the next thing. Otherwise, again, you just won't be productive. Things won't be unified, and you won't be able to manifest anything in your favor. It'll just be chaos.
Well, hang out with her, Eric, and help her, give her some guidance, be her wingman. Make it happen. Help her save her home, okay, dude?
He says, I will. I'll help her. He's going to help you with the thought process. That's where it needs to start, he says.
Awesome.
Like,
awesome.
Settle down your thoughts and get you to focus on what you need to focus on.
Great.
Okay, Maria, I hope that helps, babe, and good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck to you.
Thank you. Love you all.
You're welcome.
Love you, too.
Love you, too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, let's see if we can do a very short one. From the 850 area code, do you think we can make this very short before the end of the show?
Yes.
I bet we can.
Are you,
I bet we can.
Are you there?
In one more. Can we make it quick?
Yes. I've got some children that are very dear to my heart around me that are going through situations due to their mother. How can I help them?
Eric,
are you their grandmother?
No. Generic aunt. I've taken care of them
my whole
life.
Yeah.
Eric is giving me the word neglect. So it seems like these children are experiencing neglect somehow, some way, whether it's just emotional or whatever. So somehow he's acknowledging them feeling or experiencing neglect, but not feeling neglected. They just feel invalid. So it's kind of like the situation that they're in, they're looking for their validity in life and in the people around them. Like, where am I valid? Where am I important? So do what you can to make them realize that for themselves, that they do matter, he says, that they are important. And it's not like, he says, I know the easiest thing to do is like, here, let me take you shopping, let me take you to the movies and make you feel important. No, that stuff's going to pass away. So he wants you to, again, kind of like he was talking to one of the other callers, make them self-reflect on what's great about them. Like, if one of them loves to read or whatever, you know, just an example, say, I really think that's great about you. You know, make them name it, and then you validate it. You see what I mean? Like, so it's kind of like, again, you know, helping them know their worth and their personal power. But for them, it's more about making them dig inside, look inside, and name their strengths, and then you validate it. Like, yeah, I really think that's great. You know, it's that's really all they're looking for, is to feel valid, to feel important, and to feel grounded. Like, when I say grounded, I think what he means by that is like feeling content with their placement. I don't know what that means. I don't know if they're just like out of the home or misplaced, or I don't know why he would use that word, but it's like making them feel secure in their placement. Do you understand why he would say that?
Yeah.
Okay. So I hope that helps you. It seems like he's pretty passionate about helping you help them. So
maybe you are their earth angel. You're meant to save these children. Your influence.
That's right.
I don't think you realize how
important and beneficial that's going to be for them, just by them feeling important and valid. So.
Okay.
You're an angel.
Thank you.
You really are.
Thank you for calling in, and thank you for doing what you do for those kiddos. It makes a difference.
Yeah.
It really does. People like you.
Eric, you
thank
help,
so
help
much.
Her. Help her, babe. Eric, you help her.
He says, I'm on it, Mom. On it. He's like tapping on his chest.
Thank you. Love you.
You're welcome.
You're
Love
welcome.
You.
Love you, too. Good luck to you. Good luck to you and your family.
Thank you, everybody who's joined the show. I hope you enjoyed it and got something out of it. I'm sorry for those callers we couldn't take. I just always feel so bad. But anyway, you guys can connect with Kim. I know. There's always next week. Kim is at www.kimbabcock.net. And you can always check in with the blog at channelingeric.com. Eric spelled with a K. So you guys check out our mobile app, because it will put you in touch with our Instagram feed, our Twitter feed, the radio shows, the YouTubes, and the blog feed, etc. So check it out. It's totally free for Android and iOS. So love you guys, and y'all have a wonderful weekend. Bye, Kim. Bye, Eric. Eric,
bye,
I love you dearly, sweetie.
Says, I love you, Mom. He says, bye, everyone. Thanks for hanging with me. Have a good night, guys, and we'll see you right here next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.